this morning, Hebrews chapter 9. The presence of the Lord, it's an amazing thing to think about or preach about, because it's not a physical presence, it's a spiritual presence. We are emotional, we are spiritual people, we know the Lord is our Savior, so inside of us, dwelling in us, is the Holy Spirit of God. And that Spirit can give us joy, comfort, help, strength. It can magnify our Lord in our hearts. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to experience that. I'm going to speak today about divine appointments. And sometimes people don't recognize them. I remember Jacob back in the Old Testament. He said, "The Lord was in this place and I knew it not." It was kind of after the fact as he reflected on it. You have the disciples there in a boat, and it's a bad storm. And they look out on the waves, and what they thought was a spirit walking to them. And they were all afraid. You probably remember the story in the Gospels. And Jesus said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." They thought it was a problem, but it was really not a problem. It was the Lord's presence coming with them. As we go through life, every day there are experiences of divine appointments, where God brings people together, God controls circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. God delivers, God helps. And we're going to look at some of those today. I trust that it will be a blessing to you. But let's read one verse in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, a very familiar verse. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It is appointed unto men once to die. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for this book. Thank you for the Bible, for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Certainly, being in church today is a divine appointment. And God, I pray that you'll minister to each one, meet every need. You know all about each of us, and your word is so full and so helpful. I pray that it would meet the need today. In Jesus' name, amen. Divine appointments. Death is a divine appointment. And we don't like to talk about that too much, but thank God there are more divine appointments than dying. But the Bible says that even death can be a good experience for the believer. Maybe not for those that are left behind, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And goodbye down here is hello up there. So there is a blessing in that. Back in Isaiah chapter 38, remember Hezekiah, and he was ill, and he prayed, and God gave him 15 more years. Maybe if you're 95, he won't answer that prayer. But, you know, people do pray for a longer life. They pray for health, and I think that is good. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1, if you're still there, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service," the Old Testament, "and a worldly sanctuary, but had divine service." And so back in the Old Testament, God had instruction for how the people ought to serve him. It was God's instruction. It's called divine service. We have over in the book of 2 Peter, in chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." It says divine power. You have verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises," it's the word, "that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." And then it goes on and says, "having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So there's many times that the Bible uses those words. But when we speak of a divine appointment, we're speaking of some circumstance or situation arranged by God. And every day there are divine appointments, if we just see them. He daily loads us with benefits, right? I mean, that verse is in the Bible. Sometimes we don't recognize where the benefits are, or we take the benefits for granted, or we presume upon them, right? He helps us every day. His mercies are new every morning. And so when we get up in the morning, we open his word, we speak to him, And we experience that newness of life. It's a blessing. I think last week I used the expression, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? I mean, he's in control of everything. Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wow. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall do all my pleasure. God says that. So God's plan, it's written in more than stone. Amen. It will come to pass. The laws of God, the precepts, principles of God are not man-made. These things aren't made up. They're God-given. And so we have them in the scripture. The Bible is God's appointed method of speaking to us. Amen. And the Spirit helps us. It's God's plan. It's God's prophecy. It's God's truth. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Bible we have, it's inspired. It says in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't man's word, it's God's word. And so all scripture is given by inspiration of God. They prophesied what God had promised. So God spoke and they wrote. And now we have the complete revelation in the Word of God. We have in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, really important verse. The whole chapter is great. But it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when ye heard us preach the Word of God, ye received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. Not the Word of men, but the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe it. So when we believe the Bible and we read a truth, or we read a prophecy, or we read a principle that God says, this will work in your life, we say, amen. So be it. Because all of those things are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, all those promises. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So salvation, in the plan of salvation, in the way of salvation, is God's plan for us. Amen? And we're not just picking, well, if you're good enough, well, if you join the church, well, if you do this or give this, you know, you can go to heaven. No, God has a plan for salvation. And it's his principle. It's his truth. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, there's preaching today. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word. So we're supposed to do that. And I try to do that every Sunday or whenever I speak. And I preach the word. I try and use a lot of Bible because I don't study. If you don't study, you can just quote Bible verses. You know, you don't have to study or anything. And no, I mean, God has to give a pastor, a preacher, a message. So I pray about it, get the message, give the word. And so God chose that. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I think it's an important principle. Have you ever missed an appointment? Probably. It depends on how important the appointment is, right? If it's something, oh yeah, I'm going to, I just won Reader's Digest, you know, and they told me to show up, and if I show up, they'll give me $5 million? I don't know what. I don't think I'd miss that appointment. Amen? And this is an appointment here today because God has something to say. So these things are important. Well, let's go through the scripture. Genesis 18:14. God said to Abraham, or it says about this, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. At the time appointed, God says, I will return unto thee, and Sarah's going to have a son. It's all planned out in God's mind. The chapter before, or some verses before, Abraham laughs at this. There's no way. I'm 100. She's 90. We're not going to have any children. And so God is there, and he's speaking to Abraham, and you probably remember the story. Sarah's behind the tent here, and she's listening, and she's laughing. And so she comes in, and God says, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. No, I didn't laugh. And he said, yea, but thou didst laugh. God knows, amen? He knows when we believe. He knows when we doubt. He knows all that about us. But it says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and Sarah shall have a son. And guess what? That's how it happened, because it was an appointed time. You have Exodus chapter 9, and this is a little ways into where Israel is going to be delivered from Egyptian bondage. They're kind of fighting against Pharaoh, and God is bringing these plagues on the nation of Egypt. And you had the frogs, and you had the water turned to blood, and you had this one and that one. And we come in chapter 9 to this plague of murrain on the cattle and all the animals. It was like a disease on them, and they were dying. And this is what the Bible says before it happened. It says, and the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. God is saying through Moses to Pharaoh that tomorrow at a set time, God's going to do this. It's going to be judgment. Now, if you knew that was coming, wouldn't you do something about it? If you believed it, right? If we really believe that God had a set time for something and it was going to happen tomorrow, then I think we would prepare for that. But this is dealing with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 5, who's the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I obey his voice. I think that's verse 5 of chapter 5. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? So, and you know Pharaoh's spirit. He said, okay, I'll do it. When there was trouble, as soon as the trouble was gone, he hardened his heart. But God did bring that judgment at a set time. You have Habakkuk chapter 2. And in Habakkuk, the prophet is writing, and he's discouraged that all of this wickedness is not being judged by God. All of the heartache, all of the sin, all of the debauchery that is being caused all around him, where is God? Where is the judgment of God? Do you ever feel like that in America? You ever feel like that? You see all this stuff going on, and you say, where is God? This is what he said. In chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, God said. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God says, it's going to happen. The judgment is going to come, but it's going to come at a set time. Now, I've been saved since I've been 22 years old. So I've been saved 6 years now. And anyway, I've been saved a little while. I'm glad I didn't die before I got saved. I didn't live a good life. I'm glad the judgment of God didn't fall on my life until I got saved. Amen? Now, praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. And there's a lot of people, and we look at them, we look at circumstances, and we say, God, you know, send fire from heaven. We don't know the spirit we are of sometimes. Certainly we want judgment, we want truth, we want righteousness. But God says, at the appointed time. In chapter 1 of Habakkuk, in verse 5, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And so we continue to preach the Bible, and we preach that God's judgment will come, but though it tarry, wait for it, because it's going to come at a set time. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. That's why it's important to be saved. Amen? In Corinthians it says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed, now is the set time. It's important to know that you're saved. And get your loved ones saved, and your neighbors saved, and anybody that you can, because there is a time coming. You know, all the vitamins I take, well, sometimes I take vitamins. You know what's good for your health? Coffee and chocolate. Amen. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's a pick-me-up. There's wonderful properties in them, you know, right? Amen? Okay, this is going across the world. I mean, you need to be in agreement. Amen. Very good. Okay. That's a little bit better. All the vitamins you want to take, you can do. And I think it's good because it gives us quality of life. But there's a set time. You know, God knows when that's going to happen. because he knows the end from the beginning. And for the believer, we're going to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come, because we are not appointed under wrath. So we're waiting for that day, and we don't have to worry about it. The Bible is filled with stories of God's providential working in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. It's filled with stories about this. Genesis 24, 27. Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. You're probably aware of the story. And so the servant goes, and he's on a journey, and he's praying, well, God, lead me the right way and get me to the right person, and this is for Abraham, and he's a precious master and is a precious son. It's a picture of something deeper spiritually. But it says in verse 27 of that chapter, and he said, when he found this woman, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was following what my master said, and the Lord revealed something because there was an appointment. Amen? Just do right. And every day there will be divine appointments in your life. Even when you don't, there are. We have in 2 Kings chapter 7, the Syrian army had surrounded Samaria. And people couldn't eat. They didn't have any food. I mean, it was really bad. The ass's head was sold for so much money. The fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was sold for. I mean, worthless things become very valuable in time of a famine. In Amos chapter 8, the Bible says, there's coming in our day a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word. And so when there's a famine of Bible, there's a famine of being able to understand the Bible, worthless things become valuable. And so here, I mean, you know, an ass's head, dove's dung, that was valuable because they had nothing to eat. There were even two women and there was a baby killed. And you remember that story, and they ate their baby. That's how bad it was. Outside the city, the army is around them, camped. Inside, it's really, really bad. And outside the city at the door, the gate, were four leprous men. Four. And the Bible tells us that they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? We're lepers, you know? They're not going to let us in the city, so we're going to die of starvation. If we just sit here, we're going to die of leprosy. Let's go out to the camp of the enemy. Who knows? You know? I mean, it's worth taking a chance. If we get out there, they might give us some food or whatever. We're going to die anyway. Why sit we here until we die? I want you to pay attention to this. In verse 5 of 2 Kings 7, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. They rose up in the twilight, and they went to the camp of the enemy. Verse 6 says that the enemy fled because there was the sound of chariots, and they thought Israel had hired other armies, and so they left everything. They left their tents, they left their gold, their silver, their food, everything was there. It says in 2 Kings 7:7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. These four lepers are getting up in the twilight. At the very same time, these guys are fleeing because God did something. Amen? Who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe we'll live. Maybe they'll give us some bread. God had that all figured out. Amen? God knows. God knows. And the whole city was saved because of that. There's a great story in that chapter. You have in the book of Esther, if you're familiar with the book of Esther, there's a king, and these Jews are in bondage to these foreigners. And Esther, who was a Jew, was married to the king. Now, think about that one for a while. Esther, there's 10 chapters. God is not mentioned at all. His name is not mentioned at all in the book of Esther. But you see his providential working behind the scenes over and over and over. And so Haman, the wicked man, he wants to kill Mordecai. I don't have time to go into the whole story. Well, we could. Amen. Mordecai was a Jew, and Haman was a wicked man who hated him. And Haman devised this plan to go before the king and ask the king to destroy all the Jews. And so it says in chapter 6 and verse 1, on that night could not the king sleep. You ever have a restless night? And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. He couldn't sleep. Give me the history book. I could choose something different. Amen. But give me the history book. And so they're reading to him about two men that were going to kill him, but they were warned, the nation was warned of it by who? Mordecai. And so he read that the night before all of this was going to happen. And the king said, was anything done for him? And they said, no, nothing. He wasn't repaid or anything. And he said, we're going to repay him. And so Mordecai got exalted and Haman got put down, and it led to his demise. That's the story. But at midnight, I don't know what time in the morning. God ever wake you up at night? You ever have a restless night, a sleepless night? Here's the best thing to do when you have a sleepless night and you wake up and you can't sleep. Worry. Get mad at your wife snoring, because your husband doesn't snore, right? Get mad at your wife snoring. Blame your not being able to sleep on how somebody treated you during the day. Or the food that was fed to you. Now, that would involve your wife again. Amen. Okay, let's skip that. But I mean, wouldn't it be good to say, okay, why am I not sleeping? And ask God to put somebody on your heart and pray for them. Amen. Sometimes, quote a Bible verse, and that thing that is precious to you, that God spoke to you about all day or whatever, or preparing for the next day, there's a Bible verse, there's a truth, there's something you read that helps you. That's why God woke you up. Amen? I think it's a good thing. John 4:4, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. There was a purpose in that. It was a divine appointment with that woman of Samaria. She got saved. The whole city came out. That's a divine appointment. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip's in a revival in Samaria. God says, go to the desert. Okay. Because the Ethiopian eunuch was searching, God sent somebody to him. And when God lays somebody on your heart or tells you to talk to them or visit them, it's because God's working in their life too. It's a divine appointment. Amen. And we don't want to miss those appointments. Because if God has worked it all out and God has blessed it, and God will bless it, we don't want to miss it. Not that you see fruit every time. Sometimes it takes planting seed over and over. Acts chapter 16, I love this story. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. This is Paul, Silas, they're on a missionary journey, and God says, don't go there. And then it goes on and says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed, tempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Don't go there. You ever try and choose what you want to do? Well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You know, I remember when I was coming here, then I was not coming here, and then I was coming here, and then I was not coming here. And then the third time, yeah, I'm coming here. And then I wasn't coming here again. I mean, I thought I was going crazy, you know? I thought, okay, Lord doesn't want me to do it. Okay, he wants me to do it. And maybe you were praying that I wouldn't. Ha, 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 ha. God won, right? I don't know. But it's amazing how sometimes you go through that. Well, I think this is right. Nope. I think I'll do that. Nope. You ever do that? It's because there was a divine appointment. There was a man of Macedonia, and he was saying, Paul saw it in a dream, come over and help us. My wife and I think the first time we went to Romania to work on the mission field for a while, we were standing in the middle of, I don't know what you would call it. It's where they kept animals, maybe a corral or whatever, on a little piece of property, and some kind of a barn, and was just a dirty place. And the pastor of that little church, they were meeting in a little building, it was damp, it was a mess. He said, come over and help us, or come help us. And my wife and I looked at each other, and we were both thinking the same thing. As a matter of fact, there's a song, the Macedonian call today, send the light, you know, the Macedonian call. We always look at each other when we're singing that song. We tried to go there as missionaries. We wanted to go there as missionaries, but God didn't let us go live there. But I think we made 6 or 7 trips over there to work in that Bible Institute. And that's why this passage means so much to me. Paul and Silas, by not going here and not going there, ended up in Philippi. And they ended up in prison. Wouldn't you doubt if it was God? I mean, they're beating us. We're going to die in the morning. Would you have doubts? Well, no, I'm too spiritual to have. I would have doubts. I mean, John the Baptist is in prison. And he calls some of his helpers and he says, go to Jesus and say, are you the one or do we look for another? That's in your Bible. This is John the Baptist who said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Doubts come. Amen. And they come because of the circumstances. But there was a divine appointment. And so Paul and Silas were in jail, in prison, because there was a divine appointment. And the jailer got saved, and the prisoners got saved, and a great church was started there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But I heard a preacher say one time, so are the stops of a good man. Steps and stops. Acts chapter 18. God told Paul in verse 10, he's in Corinth. He says, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city. That's when he got there. And that's when it was difficult. Corinth was a wicked, wicked city. And God said, I have much people in this city. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul is witnessing to this king. And he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a sad, sad thing, because that was an appointment for Agrippa. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, wrote this sentence. Men are not flattered by being shown that there has been a difference of purpose between the Almighty and them. They don't like that. Here's God's word, here's God's plan. That's not my word or my plan, and they don't appreciate that. You think of David in the Old Testament. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had had her wife, her husband killed, Uriah was killed. And the Bible says that a prophet by the name of Nathan came up to him and said, David, I have a story to tell you. And he said, say on. Now, David's been hiding this for about a year at this time. Think of the guilt. Think of what was going on. Because he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was so close to the Lord, you know. He's the one who killed Goliath. And here he is hiding this in his heart. And the prophet says, let me tell you the story. There's a rich man, and he had some people come to see him. And he went out. He had all kinds of sheep and herds, but he went out and took this poor man's little baby ewe lamb. It was like a pet. And rather than kill one of his own flock, he killed this baby ewe lamb. What's your judgment on this man? And David was in a rage, and he said, that man shall pay fourfold and give his life, Fourfold was Leviticus. That was what the law said. You take that animal, you have to replace it fourfold. That was biblical. But he said, and he shall give his life. That was rage. Sometimes a person is filled with rage because of guilt, because of something they're going through, and just raging. Fourfold, and he'll give his life. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. Can you imagine that? Thou art the man. It has been preached a number of ways. I've applied a bunch of different things here. Maybe he was glad that finally it's out in the open. Finally, I can deal with it. And that's what Psalm 51 is all about. I have sinned against God, and God forgave him. But he said, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. And Nathan the prophet said, God's not going to take your life, but you're going to pay fourfold. And he did. You can study about that. But I wonder if God ever said to us through I'm not a prophet, don't claim that, but I'm a pastor. Don't know everything that goes on, but I know the Bible. What if the word is given out sometimes, and it's not me, but it's God saying, thou art the man? How would we feel? Would we be glad? Finally, I can deal with this. You know, wouldn't that be a good thing? Sometimes, and I've been preaching a little while, and I've seen people leave church mad, and I've seen people leave the church sorry. I've seen them leave happy. I mean, all kinds of situations. Sometimes they just sit and seethe. You know, it just depends on what you're speaking on. But it's all biblical. Amen? Thou art the man. If we've done this, thou art the man. You go on a little bit later in the scripture. David, you know, Saul wants to kill him or wanted to kill him and all of that that went on. And then his son Absalom rises up against him. And there's a man by the name of Shimei. And David was an outcast. David was out in the fields with his men. And Shimei was going along and throwing stones at him. And Shimei said unto David, you're a bloody man. You had Saul killed. You're a bloody man. And two of David's men wanted to come up and kill the guy. And David said, no, let him alone. It might be that the Lord hath told him to curse David. And if God told him to do that, God is going to bring good in my life because of that. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, you can read that in the scripture. It's a great, great story in the Bible. One is thou art the man. One is thou art a bloody man. But he responded the right way both times. Amen? Both times were an appointment. Acts chapter 28, verse 24. Some believe the things which were spoken. Some believe not. Paul is preaching about the resurrection. And some people are hearing. Well, a lot of people heard him. Some mocked. Bible says, like 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, in the last days, scoffers, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Some people mock when you give them the Bible. Amen? Some said, we'll hear thee again. At least that's an open door. And some believe, but not many. Not many. I have seen in the time I've been pastoring, there's a real departure of the Spirit of God in some ways, in some areas. And I mean, it was so easy when I first started preaching. All you had to do is preach, and the church would get filled up. It was absolutely amazing. And some places that is still true, and that's all up to God. Amen? But even if we glean, even if there's one saved here or one saved there, this is where God wants me. And so we faithfully give out the word of God. And the results are all up to the Lord. And you will see, there was a divine appointment last Sunday if you were here. There's divine appointments all the time. Some of them are sitting right here in the service. You know, what brought you guys, you know? And what brought you guys? And what brought you? I mean, there's all different kinds of things that God brought us together for a reason. Those are divine appointments. Not only is the Bible filled with stories of divine appointments, but it's filled with stories of our lives, right? The principles. We've experienced some of these things. I mentioned my dad when he got saved. No way God could, anybody but God could have put that all together, how my dad got saved. I won't tell the story again, but it's amazing. Bob Moeller said, "It's hard to feel aimless when you see God at work through what you're doing." That's the key. When you see God at work through what you're doing, you go through the day looking for him to work again. How can I be a blessing? How can my testimony count? What will this decision do for the Lord? Amen? And then you see souls being saved or missionaries being supported or whatever the reason, you see God working through your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. John Bunyan said, "He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. Whereby they are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Do you know any promises? Man, I claim them all the time. All the time. Why do you claim them all the time? Because I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And I am only strengthened by the word of God. I'm not strengthened by my worry or my own reasoning or my own wisdom. That takes me right down. But when I come back to what God's saying, it's a blessing. Amen? We're partakers of the divine nature. How are your days going? How are your days? How is your faith? In the early days of our country, a weary traveler came to the banks of the Mississippi River for the first time. There was no bridge. It was early winter, and the surface of the mighty stream was covered with ice. Could he dare cross over? Would the uncertain ice be able to bear his weight? Remember, as kids, you'd get out on that ice, you're going to skate, and you don't know if it's going to hold you. Night was falling. It was urgent that he reach the other side. So finally, after much hesitation with many fears, he began to creep cautiously across the surface of the ice on his hands and knees. You got the picture. He thought that he might distribute his weight as much as possible and keep the ice from breaking beneath him. About halfway over, he heard the sound of singing behind him. Out of the dusk, there came a man driving a horse-drawn load of coal across the ice and singing merrily as he went. And this guy's on his hands and knees. He was on his hands and knees, trembling lest the ice be not strong enough to bear him up. And there, as if whisked away by the winter's wind, went the man, his horses, his sleigh, his load of coal, upheld by the same ice on which he was creeping. Like this weary traveler, some of us have learned only to creep upon the promises of God. Cautiously, timidly, tremblingly, we venture forth upon his promises as though the lightness of our step might make his promises more secure, as though we could contribute even the slightest to the strength of his assurance. He has promised to be with us. Let us believe that promise. He has promised to uphold us. Let us believe that promise. He has promised to grant us victory over all our spiritual enemies. Let us trust his truthfulness. Above all, he has promised to grant us full and free forgiveness of all our sins because of Jesus Christ our Savior. And he has promised to come and take us to his heavenly home. Let us take him at his word. That's a good story. Amen. There's a song we sing, "Standing on the Promises of Christ My Lord, Bound to Him Eternally by Love's Strong Cord, Overcoming Daily with the Spirit's Sword, Standing on the Promises of God." It is so easy in this day and age, really, to get all caught up in all the negativity. It is so easy. Shoot the TV, amen? Or no, don't shoot the TV. I was going to say watch Hallmark movies. You don't want to do that either. Anyway, watch what you watch, you know? Two different meanings there. But it's so negative out there. And we get fearful and we creep along where we can run. Amen. There's a divine appointment today. Somewhere in this message, somewhere, God spoke. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's a smorgasbord. Amen. And God just throws the word out there, but somewhere in this message, he spoke to you specifically. Just hear his voice. Be a doer of the word. And he will bless you. It's a divine appointment. And if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. However God spoke to you today, there's a reason for that message today. Because later today, or maybe tomorrow, or sometime this week, God wants to use your testimony and your strength and your wisdom for another appointment. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray today, Lord, that you'd minister that word to each heart. And may we, as we leave this place today, know what you've said to us. And God, may we be watching for those appointments. May we be watching for how you're going to use us and bless us. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's